And she told them that he had said these things to her. So I've found myself intrigued by a website, looking at different phobias you could have, the strange phobias you can have. And I've learned some amazing facts. Did you know that what ablutophobia is the fear of? The fear of washing, to ablute yourself. How about ergophobia, the fear of working? Xanophobia, the fear of yellow. Who knew? Turophobia, the fear of cheese. Or, this is a really strange fear. I can't say it. Omphalophobia, fear of belly buttons. And, okay, that is phobias. They are fears, they can be real. I'm not dismissing that. But it's true that we do live in a world which is very fearful. Fearful of the war moving closer, fear of the ongoing trauma of COVID, fear of are we going to be able to pay our household bills. And you can sense a fear in Mary, in Peter, and John. A fear when they saw something totally, totally unexpected as they came towards that tomb. What on earth had happened? Who had taken the body? A fear perhaps that the grave had been desecrated and been vandalised as they approached as the sun began to rise. And what they find absolutely defies explanation because the burial clothes are still in place. We saw in the video how they just showed them through the shafts of sunlight. Someone had not just taken the body away, but they'd unwrapped it and they'd left the clothes behind. Not only had someone stolen Jesus' body, but they'd carried it, tortured, bruised and battered, a naked corpse out of the grave. That would be really difficult to comprehend. And if you think about when Lazarus was called out of the grave, what we get in John 11, he had to be untied from his grave clothes. He was still, you know, incarcerated in. But here they have this vision of the clothes rolled up, folded neat. It's very, very strange. Yards and yards of cloth would have wrapped the body, and there would have been spices in each of the layers. These grave clothes hadn't been ripped off. Someone has gone to the trouble of laying them out and then creating an effect as if the body had just disappeared. Like a collapsed balloon with the air that's gone out. And when you're afraid, you don't have that hope perhaps to be in this terrible situation. And thankfully, for us, we're not left there. It really struck me this morning that when I was rereading this, the male disciples went back to their homes in John's account of this. They couldn't comprehend and they went home. Mary stayed. She was so racked with grief, she couldn't move. And she has that chance. She didn't know what's coming, but she was waiting. I don't know if it was a word just for me, but I share it with you because maybe you just need to wait. Not rush on, but wait this Easter for Jesus to be with you. To speak to you. But let's not forget verse 8. It does say that other disciple went inside, saw and believed. He did go home with belief, but he didn't hang around. And in the shadow of great fear, faith can grow. time of fear and uncertainty, faith can grow and something new can surge up because we have the hope. He believed that something new had happened, believed that there was hope, believed Jesus was alive. He believed that fear would not have the final word. So just think about where you are this morning. What might make you run around in panic? Think about what fills you with fear. Because that's not where we're left this morning. There is life beyond death. You don't have to be afraid. You don't need to panic. There is hope because everything has changed. If you remember back to 2 years ago, you'll remember that in March, everything was being shut down. And the BBC published an article which said, coronavirus, the month everything changed. Yes, our liberty, our security, our income. But if there was any time when things really changed, we know it's what we're celebrating today. Sung about it, the day that changed history. Because the rules of life and death changed. Eternity is possible. Access to God had changed through this. Fear of death, fear of darkness had changed. And it gave purpose. So we can embrace the hope that Easter will give us. That Jesus can give us that hope to banish the fear. And we can pray to him. If we go back to Mary, she's displaying signs of grief. Her crying is only weeping and wailing and lamenting. She's a Middle Eastern woman of that time, and even now, the cry would have just overcome her body, her mind, everything. She was there, absolutely grief-stricken in the garden. She doesn't even notice the two angels. They ask, "Woman, why are you crying?" She's like, and she doesn't say, "Wow, your angels." She doesn't fall at her feet like you usually get in scripture. This is one of the very few occasions where she barely seems to notice that the angels are there. She's so fixated on what is missing from that tomb. And then it happens all over again. Because this time, she doesn't really notice who this figure is in front of her. And the same question is asked. "Woman, why are you crying?" Angels first. Then this man, she expresses her distress, oblivious of actually who it is. And as we worship today, saying, "What is Jesus calling our name?" Jesus says, "Mary." And then she just recognizes who on earth is in front of her. And she grabs him. "I'm not going to let you go," she's saying. "I'm not going to let this happen again. I'm never going to let you go out of my grip." She's absolutely in the moment. And Jesus says to her, doesn't he, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." The resurrection means so many things. It's a confirmation of a finished sacrifice. It's a sign of reconciliation to God. It's a promise of new creation. I am making all things new. But for Mary, the resurrection is personal. This didn't happen on a global stage with social media and paparazzi and Twitter going bad. This happened in a garden to one person. It was personal. Jesus meets us one by one by one. And so it's personal for you too this morning, our Saviour is. He's present with you by His Spirit. One day, like Mary, you will see Him face to face. and he will be as real to you as he was to Mary in the garden. And it's very clear as well, isn't it, from Jesus' words, that Mary's relationship is with Jesus. It's not just for her. This encounter can't just be about Mary and Jesus. And it's not just about us as individuals either. It's about the collective. It's a job. She has a job, we have a job. The job is to share the news. And this hope is what so many people do not have, do not know, do not have that assurance of Jesus' transforming love that will take them to eternity. And as I stand here and as you think about your life and journey of faith, I'm convinced in 2022 that the Easter message is true because I've seen it in people's lives. Charlotte today is proclaiming that in baptism in Brandgate. Iranian refugee is proclaiming that in Red Hill Baptist Church this morning, 3/4 of baptism. I've seen people face their fears, even when they're dying, because they know that God is with them. I've seen it in people's lives change dramatically that cannot be explained other than by God is real. I've seen people released from being broken, from the mistakes that they've made, from the sin that has crushed them, because they've known forgiveness. I believe that faith in the risen, resurrected Jesus will give us hope, will give us confidence through the difficult circumstances we're living in. I believe that Jesus can and will give us that hope that we ask him this morning. And if you've never said it before, may you hear Jesus saying your name. May you ask him to take away your fear, to fill you with hope, to be in your life. And we can pray that again and again. So we have confidence in that glorious fact that Jesus was risen from the dead, as the scripture said, and it transformed the cosmos. It transformed life and death. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are without words at times, and we just stop and pause and try in our imagination relive that first morning of discovering that what the scriptures said became true. We thank you, Lord, for the way it started a new chapter. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that it brings us, that we do not need to live in fear, that death is not the end, that we will never be alone. As we put our trust in you because we love you, Lord. We worship you this morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to sing a last song.